Well, thank you guys very much for that amazing drama. I think everyone enjoyed that very much. All right, today's scripture reading comes from Romans 2, 1 to 16. You can follow along in your Bibles or in your sermon notes. Okay. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistent in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show the requirements of the law are written in their hearts. Their consciences also bear witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My heart also has been blessed, along with Pastor Abe and many others who've been seeing God at work in the city of Vancouver. And so this morning we are covering the second chapter, or part of the second chapter of Romans. And this play that we saw this morning, or this skit, gives us thanks so much for all those who participate in this play. But this vividly portrays our human ways of judging that are very limited, short-sighted, and often not true and fair. In our society, even the best in our courts, even the best judges can make mistakes. And of course, all of them made mistakes about judging. How often I've done this. This passage of Romans is not a very easy topic for me. I grew up judging, criticizing, comparing, and condemning others. After all, I'm Dutch. If you're not Dutch, you're not much. My wife says she can always tell a Dutchman, wooden shoes, wooden head, wooden listen. That's what she says about Dutchmen, because she married one. So I grew up in this environment. It was based on my parents' desire for us to follow the teachings of the Bible. The Ten Commandments were top priority for us. Following them was so important outwardly, extremely important. We had to be separate from the world. And so we actually even read the Ten Commandments every Sunday in church. So we grew up in an environment where we were based our lives on rules and regulations. Like what you could do on Sunday. As a child, we could play some games on Sunday, but never money, because money was evil. So we couldn't play Monopoly. Couldn't play that game. We couldn't do many things on Sunday. Couldn't go to a restaurant on Sunday. My father couldn't have TV. That was also sin. So we had all these rules that we had to follow. And you had to agree with my dad's interpretation of the Bible. He was an elder in a church, actually. And one day he picked farm as a farmer, he picked up some fertilizer for another farmer because we help each other out. It was on Saturday. But the fertilizer, the neighbor didn't pick up the fertilizer. I remember this very clearly. He forgot or he didn't pick it up. But the next day, Sunday, it was raining and the fertilizer was outside. He phoned my dad, "I'm coming to pick up that fertilizer." My dad says, "No, you're not. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. You can't work." He says, "But it's going to get wrecked. It's raining. It's outside." And he says, my dad says, "I'm elder in the church. Just be careful." And he did. He came to rescue that fertilizer. My dad took him to the board of the church, and he got censored for I don't know how many months. Couldn't partake in Lord's Supper. That was the rules that I grew up under. Yeah. And you have to, again, there was, again, a few years later, of course, I began to question some of my dad's rules. I'm Dutch, too. I have a stubborn streak, so we used to argue a lot. And, you know, I began to, as God opened my eyes, I began to realize the law could not save me. In fact, God's laws condemned me. So this morning, as we go through this outline, which is in your bulletin, we're going to talk about judging others versus God's righteous judgment and the pitfalls of judging. Dr. Ironside, quite a famous scholar, points out the folly in another story. We saw the skit, but this is another story where it talks about the folly of judging others. He related an incident in the life of a man called Bishop Potter. He was sailing to Europe on one of those great transatlantic ocean liners. When he went on board, he found another passenger was to share his cabin with him. After going to see the accommodations, he came to the purser's desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch and other valuables in the ship's safe. He explained ordinarily he never availed himself of that privilege, but he had been to his cabin and had met the man who was to occupy the other berth. Judging from his appearance, he was afraid he might not be a very trustworthy person. The purser accepted the responsibility for the valuables and remarked, "It's all right, Bishop. I'm very glad to take care of them for you. The other man has just been up here and left his for the very same reason." Yeah. Okay, this passage in Romans 2 has three sections. Pastor Abe last week dealt with Romans 1 about the gospel of Romans. It's the gospel, it's the good news. But before we can understand the good news, we need to see the bad news. And one of the things that we heard from Franklin Graham was, you know, he says, of course, God loves you. He emphasizes God's love. But he also emphasizes the fact of sin, that all of us have sinned. And that was a problem they had in Romans chapter 1. When people eliminate God from their lives and from society, we can see what happens in Romans chapter 1. We saw that they were filled with every kind of wickedness. The second chapter, there's three sections. There, verses 1 to 4, we have the God's judgment is inescapable. The next one is verses 5 to 11 about God's judgment being righteous. And the last one is God's judgment is impartial. So we'll look at this to verse 16 so you can follow along in your bulletin or in the Bible. So who are these critical? The first section is, who are these critical moralizers? "You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else." Who are these people? These people that Paul is talking about they're not the ones that people, they think that they're not the ones that are mentioned in Romans chapter 1. We never killed anyone. We never stole money from anyone. We're the ones who live an honest life. We have a good standing in society. We even help people in need. These were Jews and Gentiles in Paul's day, and you and me, and most people in this church who would be quite critical of those bad people. We work hard. We pay our taxes. Most people look up to us as good people. Paul says, "It's you I'm talking about." People who even attend Fraser Lands Church. Who of us does not judge or criticize someone from time to time? Look at this verse from the Message translator, the translation. "Those people are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on high ground when you point your finger at others, sink again. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself." It takes one to know one. Judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping detection in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't easily diverted. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you to what you have done, the message. Second part in this section is, by judging others, we condemn ourselves. A little saying there, judging others doesn't define who they are, it defines who you are. Wow, ouch. My father also did say something good to me once. If you point your one finger at somebody, how many fingers are pointing back at you? Right? Three of them. So the next slide tells you, just gives you a little bit what this is all about. You accuse someone of lying, have you ever lied? You accuse someone of cheating, have you never cheated? You call someone a hypocrite, do you always live by the words you profess? You criticize someone for being late, have you ever been late? You judge someone for being racist, have you ever had negative thoughts about a certain group of people? Just ask yourself those questions this morning. The great scholar F.B. Meyer said that when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things we do not know. We do not know how hard he or she tried not to sin, and we do not know the power of forces that assailed him or her. Also, we do not know what we would have done in the same circumstances. For about 10 years in my life, I lived in Three Hills and Abbotsford and Kamloops, I also had a prison ministry going on. So every week I went to see certain inmates I was assigned to. And to minister to them, I quickly had to realize my attitude to them could never be one of judging or thinking I was better than them. I had to realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. In fact, if I had their background, perhaps I would have committed the same crimes. I'm no better than those prisoners who committed those terrible crimes. The third point in that bulletin outline is, by judging others, we will face God's perfect judgment. That judgment is based on God's perfect truth. And that last verse also on the skit this morning was Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Do not judge or you'll be judged, for in the same way you will judge others. You will be judged in the manner you use, it'll be measured to you. This is the words of Jesus. The next couple of slides show a couple of cartoons about judging. Here's one guy judging the others, but actually, if you look carefully, you'll find out they're pointing their slingshots back at themselves. They're actually hurting themselves. They're shooting themselves. The next one actually even is a better picture. While you were busy judging others, you left your closet door open and a lot of skeletons fall out. Whoops. Very convicting. Today, daily almost, we see the examples of politicians who cast judgments on others, hoping to elevate themselves and making themselves look good. It's easy to get judged and labeled by our appearance, by people we associate with, by the job we have, by our status in society, and even by the country we come from. Especially now in the United States, they make sure that certain people from certain countries do not have a difficult time coming in. People judge you even from how many friends you have on Facebook. But God only sees and knows the heart, and His judgment is perfect. Again, one example from my past is in the days of the hippies, my younger brother decided to work in the Rocky Mountains in the forestry one summer. He never got to a barber. That summer, he let his hair grow long. And when he got back home, my father knew he had backslidden. His hair was now long. He was backslidden. And he told him, if you don't get your hair cut, you cannot sleep here tonight. That was my dad's judgmental assessment of him, even though actually I found out he had gone closer to God and now was ready to actually move out in missions. But he had long hair. And my wife and I, as we were talking about this message I was doing this morning, she reminded me that my parents at one time had a very difficult time accepting her as their daughter-in-law And when we came back, and she had different standards of with the kids. We had two or three kids, and she had different standards of upbringing. And she just reminded me that my mother once said to her, "I think Bert married the wrong wife." She actually said that. She remembers that clearly. The day we've been married this week, 46 years. 46 years. Praise the Lord. And Abe, I got my bottle right behind you. If you can just bring that up, because I'm getting thirsty. This just gives you some examples of how judging can hurt people, how we can separate. Of course, my parents have changed later on. I think they were very sorry for that. The last point in this section says, by judging, you'll miss out on God's kindness and love for you and for all people. I like that verse. Or do you show contempt? Verse 4, for the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance. Don't judge others because they sin differently than you. We are all guilty. We're all sinners. And sometimes some of our sins are more hidden and more subtle. But this little passage, God is saying, I am kind, I'm patient, I'm tolerant towards you. And the only reason you're where you are today, blessed and still alive, living in this country, going to this church, is not that we're better in any way, but because God wants us to come to him in repentance, which means in humility, realizing my own guilt, my own unworthiness, that everything I have and am is only because of the grace of God. I too need to see the ugliness of sin in my own life. And nothing in us and nothing we did makes Jesus love us. It says he loved us while we were sinners. He loved us while we were still enemies. That is his great love for us. As I end this little section here, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever judged people who are different than you? Have you ever judged people who are different than you? I'm sure you have, and I have. The second part of this passage deals with God's judgment is righteous. Verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're stirring up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when righteous judgment will be revealed. Let's pass on to the next slide. Point 2, God's judgment is righteous. The day of wrath is coming. It will be revealed on the final day, God's judgment. So many times people say, that's not fair. Why are good people getting punished? And evil people seem to have anything and do everything without any consequences. Paul says in verse 5, the day of God's wrath is coming. Again, God sees our heart, and if we continue to be stubborn and proud, thinking we can avoid God's wrath, we're terribly deceived. We'll all be judged according, including the so-called good people who think they're good. In fact, it could even be worse for them. And then the second, God's wrath is coming. God's judgment is based on deeds. Verse 6, his righteous judgment will be based on what you have done. Our judgments will be partial and very subjective, but God's judgment will be righteous. Question again, how many of you ever felt at least once you were judged unfairly? Come on, be honest. Anybody feel that you've been judged unfairly by your family once or by your friends or by someone at work? Raise your hand. Well, okay, number of people are honest. The rest of you, I have a page in my Bible called For Liars. You can sign it. you know, we have all come at points in our lives where that person has judged me unfairly. Happens all the time. Even Einstein was judged, I think. I heard, you know, that he was a stupid kid in school and would never make it. So this section says, Paul is not saying that your good works will save you. The next chapter, he clearly states that none of us can be saved by observing the law. We're only judged, justified, or saved by his grace as a free gift given by Jesus. There's no other way. The good works is the evidence of our faith in Jesus. This is a statement by John Stott on your PowerPoint. The presence or absence of saving faith in our hearts will be disclosed by the presence or absence of good works of love in our lives. If you have experienced God in your life, you will have good works. You will see God working in your life. There'll be a change in your life. So this is what Paul is saying in this verses. The last section there, the next verse in D, point D, the verse 7 to 11, the rejection of the truth will result in trouble and disgrace, God's wrath and anger for those who reject God and his truth. Being a Jew won't give you an automatic stamp of approval, the message says. God pays no attention to what others say or what you think about you. He makes up his own mind. Thankfully, God's opinion on you is different than some people's opinion. He loves you. You're special. We've been hearing that at the Festival of Hope as well. The bottom line question at the end of our lives when we face God is, what have we done with Jesus? He's your only hope. No one can escape or will escape or be exempt. But this passage also gives us the hint for escaping God's wrath, humility and repentance, which brings us favor with God and leads us to doing good. The last section in this passage this morning is God's judgment is impartial, verses 12 to 16. God's judgment is impartial. He says, all who sinned apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. There is a difference how God judges and punishes people. And verse 13 says, just because the Jews hear the law like the Jews did every week, did not give them any special status. They thought. Matthew 11:22, Jesus is doing some comparisons. And he says to those Jews who were listening to him and rejecting him, but I tell you, it'll be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would remain to this day. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. They saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They saw his great things and what he did. And they rejected him. And he said that those people that were destroyed, the city of Sodom, they would have repented had they seen Jesus. What an indictment on those people that rejected Jesus. Jesus is seemingly to say that those who know more and have more blessings will be held to a greater standard. It'll be more serious. God is a just judge and takes into account all the circumstances, including the knowledge level of the person who has sinned. God chose the Jews and blessed them in a special way, so they had opportunities to repent. So their rejection of him makes their crime more serious. James 3:1, look at that verse. Those who teach will be judged more strictly. Well, I think Fraserland's just lost all their teachers. So the more you know, the greater position or influence you will have, the more responsibility you have. That is frightening. The second part of this passage is the proper basis for the Gentile. The Gentile was not given the law that was given to the Jews, but the moral law was written on their hearts, verse 14 and verse 15. Yes, even those who do not have a Bible or read a Bible have a conscience. They do know there is a right or wrong action. You don't need a Bible to realize that if I hurt you, it's wrong. If I take something that belongs to you, it's wrong. Something in my heart tells me this. If I know what I should do and I do not do it, it's sin. And unfortunately, everybody breaks their own standards. So everyone is guilty. Last point here in this section is the last verse. It says about, the day of wrath. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. The certainty of God's judgment. Acts 17:31. Paul says he has set us a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. If God did not judge sin, he is not a God I could respect. God will judge sin. That day of judgment is coming. That's the scary part of chapter 2, 16. It says God's judging the secrets we have. We all have secrets no one wants us to know about. Some of them in our thoughts, some in our actions when no one is looking. I could remember the secrets I had when I was a little kid, because I was stressed about the law, remember? But I just wanted to know if I could break it some ways, right? What will happen? Because my dad, in our culture, everybody smoked. I mean adults. And I was a kid, and the way we treated guests is we had a pack of cigarettes, and anyone could, and they would be offered to the adults, but they were just laying there when our kid, you know, we knew which drawer they were in. And I wanted to taste that cigarette, right? So, and missing one, my dad will never know. Probably didn't count them. So I snuck behind the barn with my first cigarette, right? To experience that. And I never forgot another secret. Another secret. Just to show you the evil in my own heart. Being brought up such a good boy in the Dutch background. The only time I was ever, we were poor. The only time we were given money, we didn't get allowances then. We got money on Sunday to put into the collection of the church. 25 cents maybe. But my friends had money to spend on cigarettes and on candy. And so I wanted to do that too. How could I get it? Oh, my dad gives me 25 cents every Sunday morning. If I can just pretend I put it into the offering and then put it back in my pocket. After 4 weeks, I would have enough money for a pack of cigarettes. 25 cents each, $1. Wow, I think I'll do that. And I did it for about 1 week, and I bought some cigarettes, and I didn't tell anyone, but one day I felt I had to tell my best friend, an older girl, on the bus, and I said, this is what I'm doing. She said, do you do that? It's terrible. That's so terrible. You're taking money from the that belongs to the church. I said, you're not going to tell. She said, of course I'm going to tell. And my 25 cents didn't, I tried to probably bribe her, but she told. And I wouldn't tell you the end of that story. It didn't go very well. It didn't go very well. So listen to this. God is judging the secrets we have. The only hope is God judging us through the lens of Jesus Christ, our only hope out of condemnation. That is the good news. We cannot escape the judgment. We cannot avoid it. The day of wrath is coming. I can only cling to his mercy, his grace at the cross, where he covered my sins, my guilt, my shame, and my deserved punishment. What a joy to see Franklin Graham say that last night to hundreds of people. When you've said, forgive my sins, those sins are gone. They're gone, past, present, and future. And God doesn't see them anymore. And he's covered me. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? This past couple of weeks, as I was thinking about this message, I was just thinking about that song, Rock of Ages, which we'll sing in a couple of minutes. But I just want to show you a couple of words that really spoke to me. From Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath, God's wrath, and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands could fulfill my law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Only Jesus. He is the one that can come, that we can come to, that can cover us. Then that third one that spoke to me so much. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Oh, those verses just spoke to me so much. Wash me, Savior, or I die. We're helpless. We're helpless without Christ. There's no way of escape. My only defense, we sang it, his righteousness that covers us. Let us pray. Let's just before we pray, we have a couple, just in closing, we have a couple thoughts that I just put on the PowerPoint as well. Before you assume, learn the facts. Before you judge, understand why. Before you hurt someone, feel. Before you speak, think. And lastly, don't judge my journey until you've walked my path. Let's pray, and then the worship team will lead us in communion this morning. Thank you, God, that we can say with Abraham as he prayed for Sodom, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, God, we see a world that's filled with injustice, where innocent and poor are hurt and killed every day. But we thank you that the final day of judgment, everything will be settled fairly. Thank you for your son Jesus suffering and paying the punishment for my sins, for our sins on the cross. I deserve your wrath, but in mercy you forgave me. Nothing in my hands I bring. I am helpless, I am naked, I'm guilty. But at the cross, you set me free. And I don't have to face your wrath anymore. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Let's prepare our hearts for communion as we think of those words this morning.